The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus came up to Jerusalem. There in Jerusalem, at the Sheep Gate, a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled persons. One man who had been ill there for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm on my way in, someone else gets in there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man began to feel well, and he took up his mat and he walked. It was the Sabbath day. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." And he answered, "But the man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they asked, "Who is the man who told you this? 'Take up your mat and walk.'" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went off and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this healing on the Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. This is a very powerful part of John's Gospel. By the way, there are seven signs in the Gospel of John. I've spoken about many times. Last Sunday we had the sixth sign, which was the man born blind. And this Sunday coming up, we have the seventh, the last, and the greatest sign, the raising of Lazarus. But this event here at the Pool of Bethesda is the third of the seven signs in the Gospel of John. So let me look at this. It requires much more time than we have here at this Mass. But let me offer some comments on it. Legalism is a virus in the church, and it's a virus way back in the time of Jesus, and it's a virus now in the church. The dominant presence of legalism. The religious authorities saw this man who had been ill for 38 years, who couldn't walk, and Jesus healed him. And instead of rejoicing with him in his healing, they say it shouldn't have happened because it was the Sabbath. They couldn't see the miracle. They were caught in a crisis of legalism. Now that's something we should look at length, much more than we can look at now. Legalism is a paralyzed condition, and it's not open to the visitation of the Holy Spirit. It's not open to God revealing in persons. Now, let me give you one or two examples of what I mean by this. Way back when, in my last incarnation, way back in the 70s, when I was working with Cardinal Manning, we used to go to Rome a lot. We had a habit, it's just kind of a practice each of us had, that when we went to a new city and visited a holy place, we went to the Rue de Bac in Paris, we went to, you know, Lourdes, we went to Medjugorje, San Giovanni Rotondo, we went to Tepeyac, we went to Ura in Japan. Anywhere we went, we always went to confession. So on one occasion, way back when I was a young priest, early 70s, I went to confession in St. Peter's. Went into the confession, and it was a holy year. And the theme was renewal and repentance. So I made my confession. I hadn't killed anybody, robbed any banks or anything like that. And when I finished the confession, the priest said, "Well, now, what special sacrifice are you making for the holy year?" And I said, "Jesus, no, God, I'm not making any sacrifice. Well, he got upset at me, and he excoriated me. And after he gave me a long lecture, I was getting mad as hell at him in the confession. Now, the confession was really going the wrong way now, because I was getting angry at him, and he was bawling me out. And finally, he gave me a penance. He said three times the Stations of the Cross and the Rosary. And I came out of the confession. I was worse off. I needed to go to confession again somewhere else. In any case, it's the dominance of legalism, not the welcoming. I mean, we have people in the church. I had a funeral here a little while back. Large funeral, large family. And the mother of one of the parts of the family came to me and said, my son is gay and he's married, lives in San Francisco. Would you give him a blessing? I said, I would love to give him a blessing. Have him come on in. Came in and knelt down here. The whole family came around, and I said, the whole family laid hands on him, on the both of them. And I said, I bless your faith. I bless your faith that says you want to belong to a church that frequently sets you aside and excludes you. I bless the strength of your courage that you want to follow Jesus Christ in the community of this church. I bless that courage. I bless the care you have for one another. I bless the love which your family has for you. I bless your journey in life, your prayer, your desire to belong to Jesus Christ. I bless that. I bless them and I welcome them. Instead of saying you don't qualify and you don't belong, why don't we say, I admire your faith? People in second marriages, third marriages, they want to belong to the community. Instead of saying, you don't qualify, it's the Sabbath, and you shouldn't be here on the Sabbath. Instead of saying, isn't it wonderful that the Holy Spirit moves you so much that you want to belong to the community of faith? Doesn't that sound more like Jesus Christ? Rather than say, well, we have the law, we have canon law. We have canon law that governs all these things. Well, my memory serves me correct when I say the code of canon law was shaped in 1918 by a famous Cardinal Gasparri in Rome. I learned that way back when I was in the seminary. 1918 is a long way from the time of Jesus, when Jesus was preaching the gospel. So wherever you find yourself, you'll find yourself in your families, or we find ourselves in the church. Open our hearts. Let the heart lead us. God speaks through our hearts. And so the idea of blessing people in their struggles, blessing people in their desires, blessing people in their wish to belong to a community that sometimes judges them and sets them aside. How in our families we have people who disappointed us, people who didn't meet our expectations, and we're prompted to make judgments about them, to exclude them somehow. And the Word of God says, bring them in. Have a healing. Build a community. Don't exclude people. Don't make judgments about people. We are not qualified to make judgments about people. The only persons in the church who feel qualified to make judgment and exclude people are persons who do not know their own failings. If they knew their own need for forgiveness, if they knew their own poverty, they'd be less inclined to make judgments about others. So keep that in mind. One of the teachings that comes from this third sign in the Gospel of John has to do with the dominant and pervasive presence of legalism in the time of Jesus. Yes, Jesus broke the law, and he told the man to carry the mat. That's against the law in the Hebrew tradition. Can't do that on the Sabbath. But he said, but there's something more important here than the law. There's relationship. There's miracle, there's beauty, there's possibility. There's a hope. There's a building of a community we call followers of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. The possibilities are marvelous if we can move beyond legalism. So think about that in your own life. We're inclined to make judgments about people and affirm the church when they shut somebody out and say, you don't qualify. Good heavens. Is there one among us who is not a sinner? And if we are sinners, instead of judging, we're asking for forgiveness. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer.